Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website express.co.uk. A couple of translation questions today. Question number one, the word orchestra derives from a Greek phrase meaning what? Is it A, the sum is bigger than the parts? Is it B, playing together nicely? Is it C, a harmonic blending? Or is it D, dancing place? Orchestra. And question number two, the word karaoke comes from a Japanese phrase meaning what? Is it A, you're on your own? B, empty orchestra? C, fusion of sounds? Or D, a cappella? Karaoke. Where is that from? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January the 15th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1958, that the Everly Brothers made their British debut on The Perry Como Show. Today, 1958. And it was 25 years ago today, 1996, that Jamaican authorities fired on Jimmy Buffett's seaplane after mistaking it for a drug trafficker's plane. U2 singer Bono was with Buffett, but neither was hurt. 1996 today.
Don't it seem like decades ago?
As introduced by this Ben Folds song titled 2020, today's program is dedicated to the music of this last year. We begin this exploration with an excerpt from an article titled 2020 Produced Memorable Music Moments to Relive. This is written by Melissa Ruggieri from the 12/29/20 issue of the Atlantic Journal Constitution, in which she writes that as we all sought comfort in 2020, one of those memorable music moments was the HBO documentary, The Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? Synonymous with the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack and disco era, the band of Barry, Robert, and Maurice Gibb was always so much more than a frisky dance beat. Brilliant songwriters whose works span genres, their career is finally given a respectable deep dive. Only Barry is still alive and appears from his Miami mansion with gray hair and pensive disclosures. The inclusion of Noel Gallagher and Nick Jonas to add insight into family band dynamic, as well as Coldplay's Chris Martin, who talks about the inevitable backlash for a mega-successful band, and Justin Timberlake, who affectionately spoofed the band with Jimmy Fallon on Saturday Night Live, proves the timeless reach of their music. Barry Gibb recently released an album titled Greenfields, the Gibb Brothers Songbook, Volume 1, in which he is joined by such artists as Brandi Carlile, Dolly Parton, Alison Krauss, Olivia Newton-John, and Jason Isbell on memorable songs from the Bee Gees. Here, for example, is Barry with Little Big Town performing Lonely Days as an introduction to an article about Barry Gibb published last month in The Guardian. The Bee Gees' Barry Gibb. There's fame and there's ultra fame. It can destroy you. This is written by Alexis Petridis, TheGuardian.com, on the 7th of December, 2020. From underneath a black Stetson hat, Barry Gibb stares out of my laptop screen. He is in Miami, where he has lived since 1974, when the Bee Gees' career was in the doldrums, and Eric Clapton suggested a change of scenery might do them good. They relocated en masse, moving into the house Clapton immortalized in the title of his album, 461 Ocean Boulevard. Gibb never really left, although he still has a home in England. He liked Miami, he says, because it reminded him of Australia, where his parents emigrated when he was 11. Gibb thought about retiring after Robin's death, he says, but then he realized that, as the last surviving Bee Gee, it was down to him to keep the music alive. I care that the music lives, and I do everything in my power to enhance that. That's my mission. So he went on tour and started making albums again, and at some point he changed his mind about the Bee Gees' legacy. Before he goes, he tells me a story about his daughter hearing Stayin' Alive on the radio while driving to dinner. They turned the volume up and opened the windows, and people on the street started dancing, he says. It's not explainable how it happened, but those things seem to have penetrated the culture to the point that I don't think this music's going to be forgotten. The Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? On Sky Documentaries, 13th of December, and was available on DVD and digital download on the 14th of December. So, besides Barry Gibb's recent resurrection of the Bee Gees in 2020, what was the number one album of 2020 anyway? Well, here's a hint.
Let me see, it's you and me, forgive, good God. How do you suppose that we'll survive? Come on, that's right, left, right, make lighter all the heavier, cause you and I will be like a couple of cosmonauts. Except with way more gravity than when we started off. Whoa, you and I will be like a couple of cosmonauts. Except with way more gravity than when we started off.
According to Leah Greenblatt in the January 2021 issue of Entertainment Weekly, the number one album of 2020 was Fetch the Bolt Cutters by Fiona Apple, who is performing Cosmonauts from that album in the background right now. It does seem that 2020 albums, song titles, and lyrics were heavily influenced by the pandemic, doesn't it? Blast the music, bang it, bite it, bruise it, Apple commands over this clattering piano chords and thunderous drums of Fetch the Bolt Cutters, frenzied opener. Whenever you want to begin, begin. We don't have to go back to where we've been. Moving music forward has become a sort of specialty for the singer, whose scarce output She's released only four albums since her Touchstone 1996 debut. Title tends to be met with the kind of dazzled awe that usually only attends a rare comet or solar eclipse. And what a cosmic wonder she is on Fetch, churning through dense sonic experiments, tricky time signatures, and lyrical pirouettes in a wild mosaic that feels both playful and urgent, melodic and chaotic, and always indisputably Fiona, down to the last fantastic note. But just a minute, time out. Time magazine's Risa Bruner and Andrew R. Chow on December the 14th claim the number one album of 2020 was Taylor Swift's Folklore. So who's to say? Well, here's a snippet of Taylor's Invisible String from that Folklore album.
The color of the grass where I used to read at Centennial Park. I used to think I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop. You used to work at to make a little money.
After exploring the upper reaches of pop maximalism on her past projects, Swift makes a powerful about-face on Folklore, an album that's as much an experiment with emotional delicacy as it is a lush take on the intersection of folksy storytelling and contemporary pop. Swift has been a public figure for well over a decade, but never before has she sounded so consistently vulnerable, so at home in her voice, and willing to play with sounds, hypnotic string plucks, angelic chorus hums, the unexpected gruffiness of Bon Iver's vocals on Exile. Her lyrics, meanwhile, are sharp and tinged with layered bittersweetness. Some trade on the nostalgia of adolescence, others on an imagined American mythology, but the best offer hazy, intimate glimpses into the messiness of relationships and their frayed endings. Folklore is Swift finding the beauty and power in stillness and reflection, perhaps the most we could hope from quarantine.
Isn't it just so pretty to think all along there were some invisible string tying you to me?
Now, those same two authors also rate the best songs of 2020 in a November 23, 2020 issue of Time magazine. Swift's singles from her best album of the year don't make their list. Coming in at the number one song of 2020 is this hypnotic quarantine song sung by who else but Christine and the Queens. People, I've Been Sad. Bruner and Chow write that the best songs of 2020 were created in studios, from Seoul to Johannesburg, Puerto Rico to Nashville. They strut, commiserate, titillate, and charm. Some of them are collaborations that showcase premier talents pushing each other to new heights. Others are deeply personal projects of introspection and catharsis. Christine and the Queens' People I've Been Sad tops the cake this year, coming in at number one. There's a good chance that your favorite artist took a stab at writing a quarantine song this year. That song was probably an anthemic ballad, and it probably attempted to convey loss and alienation before gesturing towards uplift and perseverance. Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber tried their hand, Stuck With You. So did Luke Combs, 6 Feet Apart. Ben Gibbard, Life in Quarantine. And Bono and Will.i.am, Sing for Life. But none of those efforts came close to Christine and the Queen's agonizing, hypnotic People I've Been Sad, which was written by Heloise Letissier last year as she grieved the death of her mother. Released in February as coronavirus was just dawning on the global horizon, People I've Been Sad serves as proof that the best art usually comes from personal experience rather than attempts at universality. In English and French, Letitia sings about losing people and crazy loneliness over a frigid synth beat, her voice blue but yearning, as if trying to vocally excise her despair. Almost half a century older than the French singer you just heard, known as Christine and the Queens, is Neil Diamond. And he spent 2020 putting together another album he's called Classic Diamonds. And here's one of Diamond's classics that you might remember, Red, Red Wine.
Wine, go to my head, make me forget that I still need her so. Red, red wine, it's up to
Jim Farber, in a January 10, 2021 article in Parade magazine titled, I Am, I Said, reports on the legendary Neil Diamond's making new music, living with Parkinson's, and the stories behind some of his greatest hits. 3 years ago, Neil Diamond shook the music world with the news that he'd been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and wouldn't be touring anymore. But did that mean the end of his music? Not at all. I'm working on new songs right now, he says brightly on a Zoom call with Parade from his home in the mountains of Colorado. I always have a scrap of paper on a pad some around for some dime. Write the ideas down. Then when I have more time, I develop them. It's part of my life. The new songs he plans to record will extend one of the deepest and most popular catalogs in pop history, one that has given him gold or platinum albums in 6 consecutive decades. In the process, he has racked up no fewer than 13 top 10 Billboard singles, from the rousing Sweet Caroline to the solemn Holly Holy, and the number one sing-along, Song Sung Blue. Diamond reworked those 3 songs and 11 more of his hits for his latest album, Classic Diamonds, available now, while at the same time modifying them, pairing his voice with grand arrangements by the London Symphony Orchestra. It was about time, he thinks, for those songs to get a new shine and a renewed sense of reflection. I'm older and wiser, says Diamond, 79. I'm different. But the quality of his voice isn't that different. Unlike Linda Ronstadt, whose experience with Parkinson's made it impossible for her to sing, Diamond's voice shows none of the effects of the neurodegenerative disorder. In a strange way, I think I'm singing better than ever, he says. It's probably because I'm not on the road singing full out and tearing up my voice. So it's in very good shape, which I didn't expect. Also, he adds, I take my medication. I do my exercises and my workouts. As for the emotional impact of the disease, he says flatly, I don't deal with it. I think I'm in denial or something. I feel fine. And it's music. I've been doing it since I was a teenager. I don't tense up when I get in front of a microphone. That's when I loosen up and let it all hang out. Diamond recorded all of the vocals for the album in his studio in another one of his homes in Los Angeles. The London Symphony cut its parts at Abbey Road Studios in the UK. He finished cutting his vocals just as the COVID-19 lockdown went into effect last March. Most of the time since then, he has been holed up in Colorado at his gorgeous and sprawling cabin made of enough wood to fill a forest. It was a kit house, like you send for in the mail, he says with a smile. The people who put it together made it great. Then I came in years later and made it a little bigger, and it's home. Favorite cover versions of my own songs? Well, I love UB40's version of Red Red Wine and Urge Overkill's Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon from Pulp Fiction. Of course, I'll always have a special place in my heart for the Monkees' I'm a Believer, which was my first number one around the world. Songs I wish I'd written? Well, all the time I think about that. I love Randy Newman. Any song he has ever written, I wish I wrote it. I know I'm lucky to reach this point in my life. Maybe I'll write some new songs about it, about the disease and so on. I'm just happy to be around.
Here from the old razzle dazzle, here from an act with lots of flash in it and the reaction will be passionate. Here from the old hopeless bead and feather on.
Razzle Dazzle from the musical Chicago introduces this next article titled Can't Stop the Music by Devin Kogan, published in Entertainment Weekly, December 2020. Kogan states that from modernized classics to fresh newcomers, the Hollywood musical is back in style with a new inclusive look. Like anyone who's ever wanted to swing from a street lamp like Gene Kelly or frolic through a field like Julie Andrews, David E. Talbert loves movie musicals. The black filmmaker grew up on classic song and dance spectacles, and he couldn't wait to introduce his son to one of his favorite genres. But when Talbert hit play on his own childhood favorite, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, his then 4-year-old son's eyes glazed over. It hit me. No one on that screen resembled him at all. He was not interested in having a joyful, wondrous, whimsical experience through the eyes of people who did not look like him. That failed watch party inspired Talbert to make Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey, focused on a black family and one of many movie musicals on the way that are revitalizing and reshaping the classic form. Some are originals, some are remakes, like Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. And still others are adaptations of newer Broadway shows, like Ryan Murphy's The Prom and John M. Chu's In the Heights. But all are the kind of big extravaganzas that evoke the musical's golden age, with modern stories that feel tailored for 2020 and 2021. Releases of Heights and West Side were delayed from 2022, respectively, June 18 and December 10, 2021, due to the pandemic. Cinematic staples since 1927's The Jazz Singer, musicals have never disappeared, but their popularity faded over the decades. Still, movie musicals have had a resurgence in recent years, from award contenders like La La Land and A Star Is Born to crowd pleasures such as The Greatest Showman. These new musicals are diverse in both their casts and their ideas they explore. And couldn't we all use a little old-fashioned song and dance right now? There's a place that music can get to that words can't reach, and it's magical.
You got no talents. Razzle dazzle 'em.
Razzle dazzle 'em.
Razzle dazzle 'em.
So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, the word orchestra derives from a Greek phrase meaning what? As noted in the article Top 10 Facts in Life and Style, as published in express.co.uk, the word orchestra comes from a Greek phrase meaning the actual space where an orchestra plays, a space where a chorus of dancers performs. Correct answer, therefore, was answer D, a dancing place. That same source also notes that when the word orchestra first appeared in English, it meant the art of dancing. The Royal Danish Orchestra, by the way, claims to be the world's oldest orchestra still in existence. And the answer to our second question, the word karaoke, comes from a Japanese phrase meaning what? The correct answer was answer B. The word karaoke comes from a Japanese phrase meaning empty orchestra. Sanjay Sharma, in a 2008 article in the timesofindia.com, adds that the word is actually from two Japanese words, karapo, meaning empty or void, and oke, from the word orchestra or orchestra. Karaoke songs are typically music reproductions without the voice of the singer. It is said to have originated at a snack bar in Japan, where a scheduled person was unable to perform. The bar owner played recorded music and invited customers to sing along. Some say it started in the 1970s with a Japanese singer called Daisuke Inoue, who recorded songs and sold it to people to sing along to. So let's close out today's program with A Song for You by Neil Diamond.
Many places in my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, I made some bad rhyme. I've acted out my life in stages, 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now, and I'm singing this song for you.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. Now, as we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Give me a call at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long. Until next time.
You taught me precious secrets of a true love withholding nothing. You came out front when I was high.